watch Survivor, and when the show ends, you really wanna talk about it with like-minded friends. It might be hard to find some, but don't you shed a tear. Check out the Purple Rock Podcast, and this is what you'll hear. John will make some dumb jokes, and he likes to yell and curse, and if they're not available, the backup hosts are so much worse. Spend the whole time being jerks, telling you you're wrong, and so we got this other jerk to sing you our theme song. It's the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast.
Welcome to the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast. I am John, my co-host is Andy, and this week we are talking Survivors 46, episode 5, which was disappointingly titled Tiki Man and not No More Salsa. Speaking of No More Salsa, Andy, did you think this one had more flavor than last week?
I definitely at least appreciated the new flavor as opposed to the one we'd been getting for a little bit. Like when I get my tacos, I do like the sample platter more than just getting straight like beef. So
it's not called a sample platter. You got to go full bougie and get the flight.
Flight, yes.
There you go. That's what you're looking for. I like that they took the flight term from alcohol and they were like, no, taco flight. And I approve. I mean, listen, it's a great concept and we should apply it to more things. So, I'm with you. I think this episode definitely did not drag like last week. So, you know, low bar, I guess.
Not but like I'm, last week, but I'm not going to say it beat the charges completely.
It's, again, relative to last week, it did better. And that's all we're asking for here, some improvement.
I'd say it's a dramatic improvement from last week. I also think that the issues that I've been complaining about for like over a season now were still apparent. I'm not going to get into them, but yeah, it's still. It's not just when it's a horrible episode.
I think the nice thing for me is that we finally got to move off of that Purple Tribe. Although it was nice that we got the like quick Banu in the recap thing because I'd been teaching my kids about the like Spider George thing for the law of average error for averages and calculation and all that stuff. And so one of my kids said, "Hey, did you know that every player on this season of Survivor has cried at least once? That's because of Spider's Banu." And I was like, "Yes, what a fucking parenting win." I high-fived that one. It deserved it. Also, I love the oh no, that tracks. When they like bring in the tribes and everyone sees Banu's gone, they're like, no shock whatsoever.
I mean, he did weepingly tell them all that that's what would happen the next time they went. So, well, not them all, but it was passed along.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. It was a game of telephone, so it got to them all. But, woof, yeah. I see what you're saying, and we don't have to beat a dead horse, although we do love to do that. About the 90-minute thing. But I do think that this one, at least, I wasn't like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Whereas last week I was just like, I know what's coming. Can we just make it happen?
I'd say like, by and large, I think this episode was like solid. I think it had good things. What would hold me back from saying that was a good episode is that, you know, it gets a little tedious at times, you know, tighten it up. And I think this would have been a good episode because I do like the change in direction. I do like that we got to explore some new avenues, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, speaking of changing it up, you know, who should have maybe changed it up a little bit is Jem, because she did some things. She certainly did some things. How did you like those things that she did, though?
Actually, before we get into her specifically, because we already criticized what she did last week, and we will again this week. Yep. No worries. Spoiler. One thing I thought of after we recorded, actually, probably after I listened to the episode, that's the thing I do. I know you don't, but like,
I do not.
Why would I deny myself listening to the best Survivor podcast, the game, right? Just because it's me? No, that's ridiculous. Right. Also, because somebody in comments left a thing like, or they like really liked this joke that, and they said Andy made, right? And I'm like, I don't remember making that joke. Must be like, which happens sometimes, that they just get us confused.
Yes, it is very funny.
We're two generic white guys, right?
So it is. Like, it's great. I laugh every time it happens.
So I'm like, oh man, John must have thought that. And then, as many times when like somebody says something funny that I feel like I should have, little jealousy. And then I listen to the episode and I'm like, no, wait, that was me. Hey, good on me.
Oh, you had a John moment. You forgot something you said.
Well, I mean, that's one other reason why I listen again, is because, man, I just be out here saying stuff, right? Like,
right,
exactly. We're just talking. Like, obviously, I have points I want to hit, but, you know, we riff. And right. I talk so much more here than anywhere else in life. So it's like sometimes when it's done, it's like, wait, what did I even say? So I like, because I know I'm going to be held accountable on some level for the things that I say by, you know, the people in comments, that sort of thing. So I like to kind of refresh myself. It's like, oh, yeah, I did say that, didn't I? So anyway, a thing that I thought of after that is that while you and I have been critical of almost all game moves, and there hasn't been a lot because of like how basic Yanu's needs were, get rid of the most recent colossal fuck up. But, you know, there's been things like them, you know, doing the fake idol thing with Jess. There was, you know, Q thinking that he's going to vote out Kenzie instead of Banu. You know, again, obviously, Gem's beware advantage ploy. And even last week with Tevin, we're like, oh, I don't know if you needed to like make the move against Soda. Like, we've been critical of all those things. And I stand by all of those. I'm not backing down on any of those. But I do think that, like, I could bode well for this season that players are trying to do stuff.
Yes. I mean, again, contrast with some recent seasons that we've had where we've just been like, please do things. Do bad things. Do good things. Just do things. Yeah. Right? Like, things are happening this time.
And I think, yeah, doing bad things is preferable than everybody doing nothing, especially yes. as a podcaster. But I don't want to go too far. It's like, well, at least they're doing stuff, because I like people doing good things. You know, like I like to be impressed by the things that I'm seeing. And yet, no, you know, and that now brings us to the question that you asked where we're starting this, because Jem was doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it really struck me as a good idea.
But that's the thing is, you know, none of these were like strategically sound things. She's trying stuff. I'm always down to watch someone fail spectacularly. I don't think she failed spectacularly in an entertaining way necessarily, with like one or two exceptions. Actually, one did happen in this episode. But like, I would much rather watch her than watch that Randon, who was just like a fucking entertainment void for me. Like, just nothing was happening there. At least Jem was making things happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, I enjoyed the full story that we got of her and her downfall this episode. Which is why, again, like, I just feel like if it had been a 42 minutes, and I'm trying not to be that guy every week. We had the discussion last week, but I just feel like it would have landed better instead, you know, that there was, you know, some filler. But yeah, because it was just her really excited. Like, what we got was kind of a comeuppance edit for her.
Kind of.
Those are usually reserved for dudes. So, like, way to, you know, break the mold. Way to, you know, strike out for the ladies, Jem. Because, yeah, she is so, like, you know, happy with herself, so pleased by her beware advantage trickery that we talked about last week. And it's like that, as we discussed last week, no, this isn't this. What's the value? What are you getting from this? And it all kicks off this episode when they're all like, so who did it, though? And then she gets the one on one with Tim. And Tim's like, why did you do it? She didn't fool anybody. She just put it on herself. And what was great is that was juxtaposed with her giving us a confessional about how great a liar she has discovered herself to be in this game. And newsflash. Nah, not really. Nope. No, you're not.
No, I mean, we said too, like, it just, the beware advantage thing, it just had such little upside, right? Like, there were just, what was.
I struggled to think of any upside at all.
Right. What was the scenario where you're like, this is going to work spectacularly? Because again, as I brought up last week, like, I guess you're going to suggest that maybe Tim did it. But then people think that Tim has an idol, and then that makes it harder to vote Tim out, like, which was a thing Right. And then that was a thing that happened here, which now I watched and then I'm thinking maybe my brain did not properly process this. So you can be my second opinion here. Was her plan, did I hear correctly? She's suggesting Tim has the idol. Let's use 3 votes on Ben and 2 on Tim?
Yes.
Yeah. That's how we flush an idol? Okay, so she really did say that. It was like, I didn't... Okay. I thought maybe I flipped the names in my head because I was like... I'm tired and I'm watching and I'm like, wait, did she just say that wrong or I hear it wrong? I don't know.
Yeah, no, they were kind of similarly. And so they repeated a bit. And I'm like, that they can't, no. Like, it drove me so wild that I logged on to X Twitter and I had to, I had to post about it. I don't do that anymore. But it's just like, I need to just put this out into the universe because I should note, this is not the only time this has happened. It's happened before where people talk about we got to flush the idol, but not putting the majority votes on the idol holder. That's right. Not flushing an idol. That's uselessly splitting your vote.
Right. I don't. So let's game this one out. Say Tim does have the idol. He now has had 2 votes against him, but Ben goes home. Tim still has this idol. And so then next week he's like, oh shit, they voted for me last time. Now I should be playing it.
Yes.
Like, is it a warning shot? Is that what she thinks it is? It's a warning shot? Because no, that flushing the idol has a very specific intent.
Yeah. And like, you're trying, and I think the way they were presenting it is you're trying to induce him into playing the idol. You don't do that through secret votes.
You don't.
Oh, no. I had 2 votes. I'm so glad or wish I had played my idol, but the decision's already been made.
Right.
It's all you're doing at that point is just needlessly splitting votes up. Or you're protecting from Ben having an idol, but you're not protecting at all from the Tim idol that you're seemingly worried about in this discussion. And it's just as simple as it is, the majority votes have to go on the idol holder so that one of 2 things happens. 1, they're voted out. They didn't play their idol. They're gone. Thus, they are gone and their idol is gone.
Yep.
Because it left with them. Or 2, they played their idol, but then they don't get to dictate the vote. You've gotten a secondary target. Their idol is gone. But if a third option happens that they just don't do anything, then you haven't done anything. Making it more likely that you'll lose a vote because you've not, taken a greater assemblage of votes and reduced them for no reason at all. And that's what would happen if that plan had gone about. All we know from the discussions that were had, there's no worry that Ben has an idol. There's a worry that Ben might have something. Because of his lie. He doesn't know if he has no vote or something. At no point do they mention if it's an idol, and nor should they. And they don't give you idols at Tribal Council. Although I guess they did last season once. With Sabia, I believe. Sabia. One of those pronunciations is correct.
I was going to say, I'm not wasting.
I honestly don't know which one. I think it's the second one, because I think we kept saying the wrong one the other way. Yes, it's about Tim, but here's where it all breaks down, because from my memory, and you've watched it much more recently than I have, like half an hour ago or so, an hour, 90 minutes ago. It is Jem suggesting this.
Yes.
Well, Jem actually isn't worried that Tim has an idol at all, because she has it, or at least has the potential of getting it at the time that she suggested. I'm not sure if at that I don't believe at that point she actually has the idol. But whatever. So she's actually not worried about the idol. She's pretending that she's worried about the idol. But what she really wants to do, almost certainly based on what she proposes as a way of flushing an idol, is vote out Ben. And she just uses that as cloud cover. Like, I know people are actually worried about Tim because, ha ha ha, my brilliant plan put a target on him, but also puts fear of people executing that target. Whoops. So she's just like wants to vote out Ben. So like her objective here isn't actually to avoid the idol that she herself either has or will, you know, presumably have soon. It's to vote out Ben.
Sure. But again, just why so much of that plan, like it still just amazes me that it's like, what is the flushing mechanism that's taking place when you don't like, is she under the impression that you could play the idol after the votes? Because if she was, you know what she should have tried to do this week?
Yeah.
Like, but like, I don't get it. Like,
yeah. And the other way you can flush a vote is like teasing it, like, you know, suggesting heavily getting an idol holder to play an idol they do not need to play, and you're not putting any votes on them. You're just trying to get rid of an idol. Like, that's another thing you can do.
Talk it up. Doing that tribal council.
Yeah, that's not what they're doing either. You know, but like I said, she's not actually worried about the idol because she herself has it, which again goes to the problem of her stupid beware advantage fuckery in the first place. And it's just, excuse me for a second here. How about them fake beware advantages, though? Like, it's just completely collapsed on her, right? Because, now her idol, her allies are like, well, we got to do, if we want to vote out Tim, we got to do something about it. And then leads her to push that, you know, no, actually, how about we put the votes on Ben? But that requires one of the four people involved in this alliance that had never been tested before, Charlie, to have to vote out, like, somebody he's close to. Like, it could have just been easy.
Yep.
Us four vote out Tim. And it doesn't require Maria's extra vote. Nope. Which, you know, could, maybe she doesn't want to do that now, as it turns out. She really doesn't seem to value that extra vote. We'll get into it. But it doesn't require Charlie to, like, really worry. You just win a vote. You get rid of Tim. And I understand if you're a little worried that, like, oh, Charlie, who, you know, we're depending on this four, is getting close with Ben. Well, don't test it right away. Just get rid of Tim, and then he's kind of with you anyway, you know? Because they don't have Tim.
Here's an alternate strategy. Just go really, really hard at Ben, someone that you don't have a great relationship with, and just try to pump him for information. Like, that seems like a winning strategy.
That was great. Like, not, it was horrible gameplay, but great scene of Survivor, because she is just terrible at this. Ben is actually deflecting pretty easily what she's doing. Yep. But I love that she's holding the goddamn machete throughout
the entire time.
It's not like just innocent, because Ben picked up on it. It wasn't like, you know, she was out there hacking at palm fronds and then they had that conversation. No, she grabbed that machete to, let's go talk. Like, what the fuck?
And he's carrying a hammer. And he says, self-defense.
I had to grab something because she's doing this. And then he gets to relate that story, which I do not believe worked out well for Jem. Like, while the actual decision makers, and we'll get to them, are, you know, going over, it's like, you know what? She kind of sounds a little crazy, though. And yeah, she has the same intense conversation with Tim. She's not doing anything. She doesn't get either of them to budge. She doesn't get any information from them. They see right through her. And I think it's what happens, apparently. I've never played Survivor. Big shock there. But people who have talked about how sometimes when you get that idol, or even which when you get immunity, like personal immunity, you start to play a little bit bolder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens. She has that. She had the rush of having to get it by, you know, measuring lengths of a machete. Who knew? I mean, for all I know, that is part of the American Imperial measurement system. None of what you do actually makes any, like, logical sense. It's just kind of seems like random choices made throughout the ages.
And I don't know. One machete equals 2 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. And like a yard or something like that. And, like, your measurements are called feet and yards, man. Like, it was all literally dependent on the size of one guy's foot and, like, how much space, you know, that guy didn't have a very big space for his yard, I don't think, you know.
We also measure things in machetes and assault rifles.
Yeah.
So, we have a varied system of measurements, I'm saying.
I mean, literally one of yours, and I'm assuming it's yours, that has carried over is horsepower. Yeah, we still do right? that.
Yes.
The rest of us are on these base 10s, but you guys are just 5s, right?
So hey, anyway. You know, one thing that American culture, I think, did influence here is I think Jem's whole approach here was, I don't know if this analogy is going to work because you are Canadian, but like in America, we have the concept of good cop, bad cop. You probably have like good Mountie, gooder Mountie. But the whole idea of this is like the bad cop goes hard, right? And they're like, ah, oh, they're a dick. And they're just like going at this suspect really hard and trying to get him to confess, right? But the whole concept of that is that the suspect doesn't talk to the bad cop. That's why the good cop is there. Like, Jem
she was just bad copping it. She thought she was good copping it, though. It's the thing. She was so proud of herself, you know? Here in Canada, the bad cop is the one that doesn't say sorry after beating their suspect.
You have to apologize profusely.
Police brutality jokes. When do they not get funny?
Exactly. But yeah, it's just her style there. And that does kind of make sense, right? Like the cockiness of having the idol in your possession, like feeling that immunity and being like, yeah, now I'm playing with house money. I can just go out and flex my muscles here. I don't know what the strategy was there. It doesn't even really matter.
No, like why? What does it matter? If your plan is working, you're good. You've got the numbers. You have so many numbers you can play around with it in weird counterproductive ways, apparently. But
yeah,
she's just like, I gotta do more because I just really want to show everyone, either it's on TV, myself, these two guys I'm talking to, that I know what's up. So like, they right. know that you know. Like, there's not a lot of mystery here. So you're doing too much is what. And that's why I ended up like, yeah, the bulk of what this episode was achieving, I enjoyed, because I like it when gameplay that feels bad to me is like immediately punished. I like those consequences, you know, and sometimes that's just an element of the edit for sure. Oh, that's cool. I mean, that's the TV show, right? Yeah, like right. We watch this as a TV show, so I like it.
It's when a the good show story.
Yeah. I love when people are all like, that's just edit. Man, it's all edit.
Yep.
You aren't getting the raw feeds, man. You just think you know you can read it better than the rest of us, but you're also going to be shaped either by what the television show gave you or by your highly evolved form of fiction of what really happened, which is, okay, admittedly, a huge chunk of fans. But there are some, and that's why I want to ask you this question. And again, you're just coming off watching this episode. This is your instant react podcast. I've seen this comment a few times. They didn't think the episode like adequately positioned Jem as the boot. They're like, when she got voted out, they're all like, what? Did we miss something? And I'm like, man, a 90-minute episode, I promise you didn't.
Right.
But I guess they did. What did you feel? Did you feel like, you know, the show like played unfair? Like they left too much out and that there was you were gobsmacked by the fact that that Jem was voted out?
Yeah. The thing is, I've watched enough Survivor that she was exactly who I was expecting to be going home. I mean, I'm not someone who like analyzes the edit, but I think there were some pretty strong like signals if you've watched this show enough. They definitely did not go out of their way to be super overt about the reason why people would be voting for her, but also she was being set up for a downfall. Like if you didn't see that with all the signs, like they laid things out and they'd like to keep an air of mystery, but it wasn't a shock when she went home.
No, like
it was my expected result.
Yeah. Like if you would ask me, who do I think going home? I wouldn't have been like 100% sure. I think they did a good job in creating multiple possibilities. Although I didn't believe it was Tim, because it's like the math.
Nor did I.
The math is not mathing there.
Nope.
You're not putting enough votes on him. And thus entirely, none of the rest matter. So, yeah, either Ben or Jem. So I was like, yeah, it could be Ben. And I hope it's not, because, you know, I find him more enjoyable And also, again, like I just said, from what I've seen of Jem, it'll be much more satisfying if this is why she goes home. And yeah, also, so I would have guessed Jem as well. So like when there was like people shocked, it's like, they didn't show any, like, well, I mean, they did show Charlie and Maria discussing those two possibilities, right? Like they showed that. Yep. They teased it in earlier episodes that like when this tribe goes to tribal council, it's going to be Charlie and Maria. What they didn't show is, yeah, them coming to their decision. That part was left out, like it is almost every Survivor episode in the history of this 46 season show. Like I don't, literally maybe some of those people missed the scene where they were discussing whether or not it should be. And I'll even allow that I think the episode cut it to suggest that Maria was going to choose Ben. That's like the way she was leaning. But I'm guessing not long after that, they're like, yeah, but. And this is, so that then gets to the questions that we often ask. Was it the right call? Did they make the right decision? And we only care about Charlie and Maria because, you know, obviously, great call by Ben and Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say, Charlie and Maria, obviously the shot callers here, at least from the edit that we saw on the show, which is what we're going to go by.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're not into the crafting our own fictions. Ultimately, for Charlie, I don't know that this will matter since we get a fake merge next time.
I think it'll help him because we're going to have fake merge.
Well, but I also think, you know, Charlie keeping Ben and also having Maria on his side, like that puts him on solid footing, right? Like,
yep,
that's a better outcome than losing Ben. So if it's the choice between those two, absolutely, this was the better outcome for Charlie.
Yeah, and I can see for Charlie, if Maria isn't going to go for it, then fine, vote out Ben. But if you can get both, yeah, then like from what we see, we haven't seen any significant connection with Jem. I'm sure there was some, but it seems more like Charlie was kind of the fourth and Jem and maybe Mariah's mind, right? So that's another reason not to be, you know, especially as we've gotten farther along into this game. You have to assume, like, does the four really matter at this point? How much longer are we going to be a tribe? It's probably not long, as we now know from the preview, not at all long. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you can keep, whereas, yeah, he obviously has a connection for Ben. So, obviously, this cuts the, you know, the options that he had at the point. You can only, you know, survive the middle until the choice is made. But I think this is the right choice for him. But it's not the same for Maria. So then, do you think it was the right call for her?
Well, I mean, judging by what we saw in this episode, Tim still seems to think he's tight with Maria.
Yes.
Right? And she has Charlie as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, if she can patch things up with Mariah, she might even come out better than Charlie in this case. Like, the just, you know, if Charlie's pitch to her, and I assume this was some part of it that we didn't see, is that, like, hey, yeah, I have been building a relationship with Ben, but that's good for us. Because now, you know, I can loop Ben, I can get Ben on our side if we need him. Like, for Maria, again, like, Mariah's the only potential person that she might have on the outs. But if she can bring Mariah back in, when Mariah might not have much of a choice, then Maria's in a good spot with basically everybody left on that tribe.
Yeah. And again, for the people that missed it, like, we did get Charlie explaining to Maria why Ben could be a potential asset in a post-tribal world, right? That the things that you're worried about could actually provide advantage to us. I actually like that from him, whether that's self-serving because he doesn't want to vote out his boy, or whether it's true. Like, you know, not everything is this guy's a threat. Sometimes it's an asset. Sometimes it's a shield. Preferably, you don't say that to their faces, but we'll get into that. Yeah, I think here's the other reason why it's probably just best for Maria, although, again, didn't all come to pass. It's just the cleaner, easier vote, right? Like, you know, going with Jem's plan requires more complication because of the complication that, you know, Jem herself introduced to it. And some of it's the random, right? We, you know, Tim might have gotten something. He could be lying about what just happened on the journey that he was on. Whereas there's none of that for Jem. So maybe that's just when you're measuring it all out, which side do I go with? They both have pros and cons. Voting out Jem is simple. Now, I would have thought that part of that would be, I don't need to use my extra vote to vote out Jem. And I should note that, like, you, God, this, I just, I think I had to pause the episode and just like, what? Like when the fourth, gem vote was revealed, because I knew that Ben did not have one. For one, I remember, but two, they also showed him not getting it. I was like, but why? And admittedly, I'm as somebody who does not feel like the extra vote has much value. I'm even right. somebody who has said recently that, like, when you get these, like, extra advantages, honestly, just burn them early. Because people will drive themselves to madness into trying to figure out ways to properly leverage these things. So either get rid of them early or just forget that you have them at all. But I still didn't really understand why, you know? Like, the decision you made, you don't need a fourth vote. It's not going to help you at all. I don't know if it'll ever help you, but it's definitely not going to help you now. The most likely time, in fact, that it will help you is like right at like a real merge, probably less the Murgatory. Those tend to just be sweeps, but like the real merge. So like, just not use it. I don't know why she voted that way.
I mean, you're right. Extra votes generally nearly useless, but in this case, what was the scenario where it was necessary here? I mean, I'm similarly fine with, like, you know what? That extra vote does not have much value. Burn it, whatever. But, you know, it probably doesn't have any value next week, but it certainly had no value this week.
Yes.
So, like, that was the calculus I would have used, is like, well, this thing, you know, it's pretty useless, but it's 100% useless this week.
And I know, like, other people are trying to game it out. And, you know, I'm fine with all of your, you know, suggestions. You're also trying to define madness like me. And they're like, well, if she doesn't trust him or Ben? Well, if you don't trust him or Ben, then your extra vote doesn't help. You're fucked. You know, it's like you kind of have to, or just vote one of them out if you don't trust them. Like, the act of choosing to go with that side is already an act of trust, so that other vote isn't gonna help. And it's like, I think, like, she's gone on Twitter. I'm just like, again, I very little stock in what people say post fact, except when they reveal ways that they screw up. Those I trust a little bit more. When somebody is willing to admit that they screwed up, then I'm like, okay, that might have something to it. Well, but when it's like, no. So she's like, I just wanted to burn the thing because everybody knew I had it. But it's like, it's right before the time when everybody be like, yes, I'm teamed. We literally see team. No, she doesn't. But we see Tim in this episode being like, yeah, I want to be with Maria because she's got an extra vote. Like, it's an asset to your team in, like, the near term.
Yes. That's the thing is, you know, the next vote or two, probably not going to have any value, but there's at least a chance.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that's going to happen is you're going to probably be swapped randomly into smaller tribes and have to vote. Then it really might matter, you know? In fact, I feel like multiple times in the new era, that's when we're like, why did they not play their extra vote there?
Yes, because they're saving it for these insane scenarios where it's the most efficient time to use it. No, the efficient time to use it is any time it's possibly useful. This, however, not that time.
Yeah, based on the decision that she made, she knew that she was throwing it away. And it's like, oh, well, with Ben, with the extra, like, again, Ben explained, plain language in the episode, assume I don't have a vote. It still doesn't matter. It's 3-2.
Yep.
If I have a vote, then it's 4-2. If I have an extra thing, you know, I'm not, like, that part we didn't get to see. So, yeah, I was just like, that would be the other reason why it would make the right choice to just vote out Jem, because it doesn't require you to use this extra vote, but she just did anyway. It's nice that people are doing stuff. I just hope eventually I can sign off on something that they do. And then here's the things, like, if we're going to construct fictional, hypothesis about why is, I feel like Tim wasn't the only person that picked up on the fact that Jem could have had that thing. We don't know. I'm really hoping this would be so amazing that, like, next episode starts off with them, like, you know, like, maybe Maria or somebody, like, explaining to Mariah why they voted out Jem with like we saw her get the idol, and then we get a replay of all of some of the scenes we saw this week, but the camera just pulled back farther to like see people like watching her, like, you know, holding that machete up to,
yeah, measuring with the machete.
That would be amazing.
It would be.
But I feel like there's a non-zero chance that, like, you know, Charlie and Maria might have pieced together. It's like, actually, maybe it's Jem that has the idol, in which case it makes a great, this is the best time to vote her out. She has no idea that it's coming. And, you know, that's how you flush an idol, is by voting, putting the most votes on the person with the idol.
Hold on, I'm writing notes down here. Is this the most votes, you say? Interesting. What a strategy.
And if you're afraid that they're going to play the idol and you don't have enough to like do a proper split, then the answer is to not vote for them at all, but to throw a minimal amount of votes. That does nothing. That's nothing. That is not a thing. That is nothing. All that is opening yourself up to losing the vote altogether. Now you're putting the power into like one person's hand, which is true of like all split votes, is that there is risk. But yeah, man. Oh.
Hey, you know what was actually a pretty decent strategic move this week was not losing a challenge. Which
interesting.
Yanu decided to deploy that one this week. And I was like, you know, this could work. I mean, it's a new twist. It's a bold choice. Let's see how it plays out. And it to me seemed like it played out pretty well. What did you think? My relief was in the fact that I think all three of them make more entertaining TV than basically anybody on the Green Tribe. So having them beat the Green Tribe was perfect for me, right? Like, just, I've said for most of this season, I'm not that interested in what happens at that Green Tribe. And those three remaining Yanu, I'm like, oh, you know, I like them. I'd like to see how they play mixed in with a larger group. And now I'm going to get a chance to see that. So I'm happy for that.
Yeah, I'll say this for Sega. I agree. Like, their segments have not been the most interesting. And frankly, that goes to the heart of what we're talking about all the time, especially me. Sega and why their stuff isn't as interesting is that it's had, like, there was no weight to it, right? It was just, as they say themselves, the vibes tribe. And a certain kind of, like, fucking goofy, nerdy vibes that aren't really aligned to who I am. But it's just like, I don't really care that much about that stuff. It's cute, it's fine, it's whatever. But, like, that's not what I'm into Survivor for. So giving me, like, 22 more minutes of that doesn't really serve my needs as an entertainment, somebody searching out entertainment. And that's all that Sika had to offer, because there really wasn't anything else going on. There was Tim being all like, oh, women's tribe, girls' tribe, which was a bad look, but also 100% correct. So I suppose I should give that to him. Like, he went to it early. Maybe he spoke it into existence and really felt like, yeah, just typical guy. But he was also, you know, accurate. At least in two of the women's minds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he clearly did put in the work to, you know, with Maria, so it didn't come to pass. But yeah, it's just, but I actually don't mind all of them. Like, I was worried about losing Ben. I enjoy his presence. I actually kind of like Charlie. Like, I feel like he's been doing a good job of narrating. It's just, again, until tonight, nothing that he was narrating had consequence, so it just didn't matter. And that's just probably why 90-minute episodes are just never going to work for me, because I don't care about people hanging out on Survivor. I just don't. Other people do, and that's cool. Like, it's literally no judgment. But, like, I was getting tired of Survivor, the show, when it was just that, you know, the early seasons, because I watched them all as it went. And at first, that was just this refreshing part. Like, what a different way of, like, consuming entertainment. It's just like people just being But like after a bit, I'm like, I'm ready for like something new to happen besides this group of people that was randomly put together has more people than this random group of people. And we'll just have to wait until that's no longer true for anything new to happen, right? That's what so much of Survivor was in the early years. That's why I found people like the Robs so exciting, because like they're doing something new for Survivor. I should clarify, yeah, Mariano and Sestrino, not really so much the one that was like choking people out in Thailand.
No, you didn't like that move? No. That's a new wrinkle.
Because it's like, ah, yes, I've always felt like this show could be more. This game could be more. I'm excited to have that. That's why, yeah, they threw in Idols. I liked it. Like, I'm still, to this day, when they throw in new stuff, I'm not like, ugh. I'm more like, let's see what happens. Because for me, I feel like I've gotten most of the flavors of people hanging out starving on a beach. You know, I kind of know what they do. And frankly, I'm not that deeply interested in like humans anyway. And that's why I think the 90 minutes are just never going to work for me, because then that just boils it down. Siga just didn't have anything real to do, so they felt boring. Yanu had lots to do, so they didn't. I also think like Kenzie, Q, and Tiffany are probably just more interesting, especially Kenzie. But I do think like Sika could, some of the people on Sika could be more interesting once they actually get to do stuff besides fucking salsa and naming songs.
That is entirely possible. But I just want to say that I am so grateful that you decided to not address or beat that 90 minute dead horse again.
I know.
Like, bravo to you. I mean, your will is strong.
It is.
And I applaud you.
These episodes, these podcast episodes, like this is, see, maybe it's like a bit, maybe it's like a form of like cultural criticism that I like extend needlessly with filler every week on the same subject.
The nice thing, and one of the reasons that I was actually kind of hoping that Ben didn't get voted out, is because it does give us a recurring podcast gimmick every week. And yeah, spoiler, it's happening again this week because Ben delivered again. So let's stick to at least the strategy part, because we did see a little bit of strategy taking place, right? Or at least the proposal of strategy taking place. They go off to this journey. Q has some marvelous theories, as we know. We've espoused the greatness of Q's theories many times on this podcast. What did you think of his attempts to bring people to his side?
Well, the thing about Q is he really understands the threats that are out there for people like him. The threat from without that are trying to prey upon the strong. And that it's incumbent on those who share Q's theories to work against these outsiders.
Well, you know, Q is noting that he and Hunter and Tim have a certain value, and they want to make sure that people who share those values are protected in some way. And that's Q's whole thing. So what did you think of that, of Q's theory?
I mean,
they should protect themselves.
And ultimately, he's not wrong. Like, they probably will be targeted. Hunter almost as certainly. And, I mean, literally somebody calls him a meat shield to his face. We'll talk about that. and also, like, man, like, if there were two other different kind of people, find a different reason why they should be your allies. Like, always be connecting. ABC. That's how it is, right? So, in that sense. And I know, like,
that's how the alphabet works.
Yeah. Well, there's a movie reference, so that's where I went.
I know.
But yeah, so, and I could have just gone with closing, and I didn't need to actually.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that's the actual reference.
I know people roll their eyes like, oh, these dudes, they're so short-sighted, they think so highly. No, actually, he's right. And they were like, let's bring other people in. It's not, like, at least he didn't do the thing where it's just us three, like, they did a few seasons ago, and ignoring the third person there, Caroline, like, so I actually think, like, yeah, man, give it a shot. I wouldn't, like, you know, now hang my head like I've got this locked down, but sure, you meet other people, you're, you know, before the merge, test the waters and whether it would, you know, whether you could form some said alliance. And yeah, so I'm fine with the attempt. As our friend Mike pointed out, he did get 6 people in a 13 people merge. So the math doesn't quite work out, but in Q's defense, he doesn't know when the merge is happening. So, you know, the numbers might work out fine. And
exactly.
And Tim did mention that there's an extra vote. I think after the proposal, but now that of course isn't true. And I wonder if Tim will know, like if Maria will tell him or if Tim will just assume that Ben was the fourth vote.
And also, like, imagine this thing does come to pass, right? And they all get there and they realize they have 6 and they're like, all right, but that's okay. Cause Tim, you told us Maria has an extra vote. And then it's like, oh shit, wait, you know, like that's the reveal where they're like, oh, Tim, you kind of overpromised here and underdelivered.
You know what I don't like about Q theories and wild things?
There's
several about them, you know. I'm done with the fake quitting bit. You know, it's enough of that. Hopefully that this is the end of that. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of passive aggression. And now he's playing it off. So like, I want Kenzie to think that. Okay, but what's the advantage here, you know? So she'll think that she's voting for me, but in reality, I'm voting for her?
That's the exact thing that's going to take place regardless. Yeah.
You didn't need to like put on this whiny I might quit bit for that to be true. That's just going to be the way it goes down anyway.
Yep.
But
so let's talk
he's
Hunter,
trying
though.
To do something, and I appreciate the try.
Let's talk Hunter, because we're talking about this physical threat potential alliance. And you know, Hunter at that challenge, like I saw that challenge, and did you like me immediately assume he'd practice this slingshot thing in his monstrously large rural backyard at some point?
Oh yeah, for sure. I had no doubt his target. Right. Not at all.
Absolutely. Like I don't know that he necessarily had the 3-story structure built, but definitely the slingshot.
Yes.
Yeah. And once again, as you said, nailed it first try, at least from what we saw. And I have no problems believing, given what we've seen from him in challenges previously, like if it wasn't the first shot, it was probably the second.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I wrote that we were going to talk about Hunter at the challenge, forgetting that there was more than one challenge that Hunter participated in, because it's the second one that I'm more interested in. And I guess that's not quite a challenge, but you know, it was a challenge for him. When presented with what he had to do on the island there.
The chronological sorting.
Yeah. How confident were you that you'd nail it?
So it's funny because I was like, I think I could do that. And so then they put the things, the logos on screen, and I paused and I went up to the screen. I'm looking at it. I'm like, okay, I think I got it. And then I'm like going through. And what fucked me a little bit was the Guatemala to Tocantins stretch where I was like, oh man. Which one of these came before the other?
Wasn't like, that was when you stopped time. Watching?
Yes. I think Guatemala was the... I stopped around there, and then I came back posts, like Heroes Villains, and then caught back up. So yeah, that's a part of why I don't have a chronological order that I watched them, because I watched them chronologically up through Guatemala.
Yeah, so for me, there's no doubt in my mind that I'd nail that. I did pause it for a second, just talk it through, but then, you know, my wife is like, yeah, okay. You know? And I was just like, I didn't want to be, you know, the guy from the meme with like, I'm at a baseball game with my hot girlfriend, just clearly talking about something that she doesn't care about. not to say that I'm not frequently that guy, but.
Right.
In this case. We like to make it, you know, like just dudes do that, right? And, you know, there's mansplaining. It's a real thing. But like, I will sit there and listen to talk about all her coworkers. Do you think I care at all? No, I don't. Not even a little bit. I know she's listening to this. I care about her, and I know she wants to have someone to talk to about this stuff, and I'm fine and happy for that to be me. But do I care? No, of course not. I frankly think it'd be weird if I did. That's kind of sometimes what human communication is. You let somebody talk about a thing that they care about. And frankly, you care about them. But in this case, I'm like, I better move on before she falls asleep. We got 90 minutes to get through.
You know, and in this case, I care about the stretch from Guatemala to Tocantins. Yeah. So, you know.
A funny thing is Brian from Guatemala, he tweeted out, it's like, of course it was Guatemala that messed him up because nobody remembers my season.
Exactly.
And accurate. Yeah, no, no doubt. But I actually thought that Hunter explained exactly why he had a struggle with it. Your reveal explains why you do.
Yep.
If you're not watching them in order, then yeah, man, this could be a problem. Now, sometimes, like I could name NBA finalists or champions probably in a row from like 1980. I wasn't watching when I was a baby, so it is possible to obtain that knowledge post fact. But yeah, the fact, like his explanation made perfect sense to me. Because whereas why I'm 100% confident that I could do it is I watched them all as they happen, so it's like a chronological event of my life. So exactly. It's very much this thing happened after this thing. In fact, it happened months after this thing, you know, a summer after this. Like the progression of the game is in my mind. Now, the one part that would get a little tougher for me is near the end stretch. Obviously not post 40. I doubt they had those on there because those are just numbers. Those I could do.
That would be pretty funny, actually.
But like, you know, I would probably have to think a little longer about like Heroes, Hustlers, the other H, and then like how that happens in relation to
Game Changers,
like Ghost Island, Game Changers, that sort of thing. I could get it, but those wouldn't come as instantly like as the first, you know, well, first 20 super easy, the next 10 probably pretty easy too. It would be that stretch just because now there's no geological connection that also made it easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, like, which season is which number in the future will be hard for me. Like, obviously, I could put 41 through 49 in order because I know how numbers work. But yeah, if you're like, who won which? I think you are. It's just because numbers don't work in my brain the same way that words do.
Well, you know, the gimmick, like, we would roll our eyes at some of the absurd gimmicks they'd come up with, like the Healers, Hustlers, whatever. But it does help you remember the season, right? Like just hearing that, you like remember, oh, the Heroes tribe had, you know, so and so on it. It's dumb, but it does help you remember certain things.
Is Heroes the other H?
It's Heroes and
Hustlers, Healers.
Healers and Hustlers.
Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. But how is the difference between a healer and a hero? See, right there. Because we just always call it HHH, right? But
yes, as we should. We shouldn't call it at all. It's not worth our calling.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's the season I yelled at everybody that Christy actually sucks. And another correct take by me. I might go back and listen to those episodes right now after this. Because I love this podcast. It's great.
Hey, let's talk about one of my favorite parts of this episode. It's Venus having a discussion with Hunter early in the episode. We kind of alluded to it already. But you know, we talked about Jem really working her magic with Ben in that conversation. Let's do a little compare and contrast. Who do you think did it better? Who wore it better, Venus or Jem?
Ooh, this is tough, man.
It is.
This is like Shai versus Jokic for the MVP, but in exact reverse.
It's the LVP.
I mean, Venus didn't go home.
Because there wasn't an option for that to happen. Yeah.
Well, and it's a great comparison because they both talk to us in confessional about how good, like, and again, post-haste, right? This is after the events have gone down. Oh, man, how they nailed it. I really, you know, I don't care. I'll stay forever. I'll keep Hunter from finding that idol. And then, like, we see, I think she gets bored after a little bit and leaves, and then he grabs the idol.
Immediately. I personally enjoy it when a person in like a weaker position is like, no, I want to keep you around, as though it's their choice.
Yeah, it's like, cool, so, thanks. You have no call, but thank you. Right. I appreciate it. That's so magnanimous. Tell me more.
Oh, yeah. It's like if you go to your boss and say, you know what? I really like you. I'm going to give you a promotion. Like, that's not how this works at all. Oh, it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, no, also, man, she is so bad at this. Like, yeah, any of the questions you might have had or how she ended up on the outs, how they instantly identified her as, you know, a princess. every episode that we get something from Venus since is like, yeah, they had her dead to rights.
You know, the other thing is like with Jem, I was like, I don't know that you understand flushing the idol. I'm not positive that Venus understands the concept of the meat shield strategy because, you know, she's like, you're my meat shield. And I'm like, well, I mean, I feel like you got the meat part right, but I don't think he's shielding you. You know, like, I think Jeremy's whole thing with the meat shield strategy was that, you know, he wanted other physical threats around because he himself was a physical threat.
Yep. You do not require said shield, Venus.
Yeah, Venus not popping off the board as a physical threat, you know?
I better keep Hunter around or they'll vote for me.
Right. They'll vote for the other big challenge threat, me.
They're not voting for you. It's for other reasons. And if they are voting for you, it's also for definite other reasons. Yeah, she's just so snotty when she talks to people, you know, and it just keeps, you know, the impression that I've made. She is not accustomed to dealing with people who aren't into her. Because I don't know that she encounters said people very much in her life. Because
right,
she
exactly.
just seems to That's have... Right. No way of knowing how to talk to these people, like in when she needs them in ways to like get them on her side. Just like, no, I definitely keep you around because I view you as this game piece. Like, holy fuck, that's not quite as bad as Q telling a grown man that he's yeah. a liability.
You're a liability.
But in some ways it's worse because Hunter isn't a moron.
Right. Yeah. It was impressive. I enjoyed that part.
Yeah, man, so like we've talked about several things that I've enjoyed about this episode, but I'm not coming back like, man, that was a great episode of TV. And it's just, it's these things are too long.
But again, it did provide us with a very important thing, which is podcast fodder. And Ben delivered once again this week on some more podcast fodder. He managed to slip in a reference to... Whether you want to call it Black Sabbath, Ozzy, whatever you want to
say. Well, he did a few. So he also mentioned Motley Crue. So that's that, true. I feel like, is going to keep coming up. So we can keep kicking that can down the road, especially because we're not really excited about it. No. The scene of him and Charlie doing song titles wasn't B-roll footage of their original battle. This is a new battle that I didn't really realize. I had a question, but I didn't know the songs. But according to Mike, our music guy, he was saying songs from Kiss.
Oh, this is
whereas Charlie was still doing the only musical artist he fucking knows.
No, it was not.
Yes, those are Taylor Swift songs. That much I know.
Of course.
Now, either, you know, like, that's lame, right? Like, oh, man, you got to come up with somebody new. But, like, Lana, anybody? But nope. In true Swifty format, music begins and ends with one person. Much like how, like, an entire generation of millennials only have ever read one book series. That's right. How Charlie is with music. Now maybe he's going like a whole new set of songs and that would be impressive, but also how does anyone know? Is Ben gonna be like, no, you said that one
right? Exactly. Like, nah, that's not even a B cut, bro. Sure.
But then yes, he mentions Ozzy. He quotes the song, so that's who we're gonna go with this week, but with the caveat that like anything with Ozzy, so his Black Sabbath stuff or his solo stuff.
Sure.
And what I like about this segment, like I said last week, that like Ben and I's, you know, musical tastes don't quite align, but we're still doing it every week. I kind of like it because it's pure podcasting, what we got going on here. And that is, this is two dudes sharing their opinions on things they barely know anything about. And like, it doesn't get more pure than that.
Exactly. It's distilling podcasting to its essence. Let's start. Number three, I'll go first. For me, it's Iron Man. Solid, like, corny 70s, 80s, like, metal stuff. I enjoy it. We'll say Iron Man for number three. What about you?
So I considered No More Tears here, but much like this season of Survivor itself, too long. It's over 7.5. It's over 7.5 minutes long. And, like, then it's like, no, it's not it, you know? Like, if it ended at the point of the song where it feels like it's about to end, before transitioning into like a new song and then coming back, then I think it would be number three. But because this is like, man, that's a lot of song, you know, if you would have reduced the filler and just gone with the heat, there you go. So instead, I'm also going with Iron Man at three.
All right. We're aligned. All right. Number two, I'll be gracious and let you go first this time.
So this will be my top Black Sabbath song. We'll go with Paranoid. Here's the also thing I like about Ben. Again, the songs don't really align, but like, he's like a simple dude. He likes things that shred, and
yes,
he's not wrong. And it's really weird. Like, we discussed this offline. His musical tastes don't align with his age. Like, all the bands that he, like, he's been talking about are like about 10 years older than like him. He's in the early 30s. I like that. What's important to Ben is, does this shred or does this not shred? And, you know, Paranoid does. I like how there's a tension between like, can Ozzy keep up with the guitars or not? So that's cool. And also, it's like less than 3 minutes long. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, it matters, you know? The Ben being early 30s shocked me. And it's in large part because of his musical tastes. I'm like, wait a minute. How are you? I mean, some of these acts are old for me.
Yes.
And I'm older than Ben. And like, I was reaching for some Ozzy stuff. Like, I mean, I guess I know some. And similarly, like, if Motley Crue comes up, I'll be like, I guess I could name, you know.
Like, we're going to do it.
Right. Yeah, we'll do it regardless.
Every week, it's this big battle. Like, am I getting past the like front page of Spotify with their top five like downloads that they put out there?
Right.
Which aren't always the top five. The numbers seem to fluctuate. But and we this is now like week five. I'll tell you on this week. No, not at all. So three out of the five times, I have not selected a song that isn't one of the top ones.
Spotify. See, I've actually been trying to avoid looking it up and just going off, you know, my own perception of that artist. Other than, I think, there might have been 1 week where I was like, man, what's that one song?
See, for me, it's been like a fun part of the Thursday morning experience is I'm just kind of listening to these songs. Anyway, sorry, you never actually said.
Yeah, my number two, War Pigs. I also, just today, in fact, listened to the T-Pain cover of it, which is also good. So I'm going to go War Pigs, number two.
And number one is the song that Ben referenced, Crazy Train.
It is. Yes. Crazy Train. How are you going to pick a different song? Like, it's number one for a reason.
Yeah.
It's the easy choice because it's the best song.
Yeah.
Also, just quintessential Ozzy. So, yeah, that should be number one.
And it just kind of answers, like, yeah, it's unfortunate that, like, he had to get kicked out of Black Sabbath, but, like, Ozzy still had it. It's also kind of fun because, like, what really makes that song great? Obviously him, you know, and the chorus, the whole deal. But it is the guitar, but nobody cares because it's not a band anymore. It's called Ozzy Osbourne. Right. Like, I mean, I'm guessing, like, actual metal fans know the guitarist's name, but I don't.
Nope. And just Ozzy kills that song. It's great.
It's so great.
All right. Anything else for this week, Andy?
Have I talked at all about the length of these episodes?
Ah, shit, I'll have to go back and listen to this. Nope, I won't. I won't because no, I don't do that. It's not a thing that I do.
But everybody share your songs. Again, the rules are, I mean, you can set your own. If you're only like Ozzy solo, maybe a separate list for Sabbath. But if you are going to do what we did and combine Sabbath and Ozzy, you can't include non-Ozzy Sabbath.
Right, exactly. It's specifically Ozzy. This is what we're starting with Ozzy, and then you can also use when he was in Black Sabbath.
And you can do that on our website at purplerockpodcast.com.
You can.
Yeah, what else?
If you like wanted to email us, like you're like, man, I miss 2004 and I love email and I use MS Outlook, and you're sitting there at your MS Outlook and you're like, oh man, I want to utilize this. You could email us at purplerockpodcast@gmail.com and you could send us your thoughts and opinions, and maybe we will care. Maybe we won't. It's a roll of the dice, but you could roll the dice if you wanted to.
This is the part where a lot of people probably tune out. I meant to warn you beforehand. Hopefully you haven't, because we got something special coming up when we hit the theme music.
This one's going out to Jim.
Times have changed, the times are strange. Here I come, but I ain't the same. coming home. Times gone by seem to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home. You took me in then you drove me out, yeah. You had me hypnotized, yeah. Lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. You made me cry, you told me lies, but I can't stand to say goodbye. Mama, I'm coming home. I could be right, I could be wrong. It hurts so bad, it's been so long. Mama, I'm coming home. Selfish love, yeah, we're both alone. The ride before the fall, yeah. But I'm gonna take this heart of stone. I just got to have it all. I seen your face 100 times. Every day we've been apart. And I don't care about the sunshine, yeah. Cause mama, mama, I'm coming home. You took me in and drove me out, yeah. You had me hypnotized, yeah. Lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. I've seen your face 1,000 times. Every day we've been apart. And I don't care. Yeah, 'cause my